Today's daf is Beit HaDaf Yud Dalet. Today's daf pretty much splits up into three basic topics. We have Tochein on Amud Aleph, we have the halachas of Tochein on Yantiv, of grinding on Yantiv, and on Beis we have Borer on Yantiv and sending Matanos on Yantiv. The various issues that come up with those two malachos and the issue of sending Matanos on Yantiv, how prepared the Matanos need to be in order for one to be permitted to send them on Yom Tov to somebody else. So a lot of details along the way, but that's basically how it breaks down. So let's see the Mishnah. We are holding up the Mishnah on the top of Daf Yud Dalet Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Beshamei Omrim, Tavlin Nidochin B'Maduch Shaleitz, that spices can be ground up using a wooden pestle, which is, according to Beshamei, it's a little bit of a shinoi. That's not the normal way to grind up spices. Normally you would use some sort of a stone pestle. You wouldn't use a wooden one. So there's a slight shinoi. V'amelach b'pach u'be'etz ha'parur. And salt can be ground up in a jug using a mixing spoon made out of wood. So the way he understands, apparently, according to Beis Shammai, to grind up salt, you have to do something very different. Doing something a little different is not enough. When it comes to spices, a shinoi ma'at, a little bit of a difference is enough. But when it comes to salt, it needs to be very different. It needs to be a significant shinoi. But no, when it comes to other spices, it comes to regular spices, you don't need any shinoi at all. You would grind it up the same way you would grind up anything else. B'maduch shaleven, with maduch shaleven, using the pestle of stone. V'amelach b'maduch shaleitz, and when it comes to salt, you only need a little bit of a shinoi. You don't need to use a mixing spoon, and you don't need to do it in a jug or anything. Just use a maduch shaleitz instead of a maduch shaleven, and that's good enough to have a shinoi ma'at. So the way it comes out is that according to Beis Shammai, for tavlin you need a little bit of a shinoi, for melech a big shinoi. According to Beis Hillel, for tavlin you need no shinoi whatsoever, for melech you need a little bit of a shinoi. Tosos points out over here that according to Beis Hillel, tavlin yidochum maduch shaleven v'tema, demash mahachle de tavlin mutal laduch below shinoi. That in our Mishnah, Beis Hillel is clearly saying you don't need any shinoi whatsoever when dealing with tavlin. Yet the Gemara of Masechta Shabbos, Gemara Shabbos says, "Kamar pilplin bekasa disakina." You have to use the handle of a knife to crush peppercorns. Chada chada, one at a time. Chada chada shari, one at a time is mutter. Trei trei aser, two at a time is aser. So apparently, you do need a shinui. V'chi teimi diyeshchiluk bein pilplin and tavlin. And if you're going to say, "Well, maybe pilplin and tavlin are different from each other," zeino de behedya kamar b'tosefta ala dahacha pilplin areu k'tavlin. But it says explicit in Tosefta that pilplin and tavlin are the same, that they are no different from each other. So why is it that over here Beis Hillel says that tavlin you could do in the normal way, you can crush in the normal way, and Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos, it says that you can't, that you need some sort of shinoi to crush tavlin? So it says to us, it's very simple. This Masechta is called Maseches, it's not really called Maseches Beitza, it's what we call it, the Rishonim call it Maseches Yom Tov. Masechta Shabbos is called Maseches Shabbos. That's primarily because Masechta Shabbos speaks about the halachos of Shabbos, and Maseches Yom Tov speaks about the halachos of Yom Tov. Over there it's talking about Shabbos, not talking about Yantif. So it has different dinim. V'teida the Shmait the Hasa Mayri b'Shabbos, and it has to be the whole sugi over there that the Gemara that this comes up and is talking about Hilchos Shabbos. Then there's a little bit of a girsa issue over here. Either it should read the way the Mari Landa says it on the side is that the Imrat Zolomer v'Yomtov ki depirush rach. You got to switch around the words a little bit, because if you wanted to say that it was talking about Yantif, like the Rach claims, Rabbi Nachmanel says that sugi is in Masechta Shabbos is talking about Yantif, then the Gemara should have said so. It should have mentioned that it was talking about Yantif. So that's everyone says that's what Tosos means to say. The question is how to read it into the words of Tosos. So there are other ways to change the gears of Tosos. But anyway, so that's the sheet of the Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel holds when it comes to Tavlin, no shinoi whatsoever is necessary, and when it comes to Melech, just a little bit of a shinoi is necessary. Now the Rishonim are all bothered, but with this entire heter of the Beis Hillel, shchika is a told of the tochein. It's grinding. It's tochein. Tchina is one of those malachos that are asur in yantif even l'tzorach ochel nefesh. Not all malachos are mutter l'tzorach ochel nefesh. So how could it be that Beis Hillel is going to allow grinding, which is a told of the tochein on yantif? It's not allowed to even for ochel nefesh. You're not allowed to do tochein. Not only that, Rashi writes later on that we only allow malachos she'i efshal asosan meir of yomtov. So how could Beis Hillel allow crushing salt with the shinoi, that doesn't, salt is good, is, you could have just as easily done it before Yantiv. Nothing changes with the salt from before Yantiv to after Yantiv, and or to during Yantiv. It still tastes the same. It doesn't get ruined at all by doing it any earlier. So why would this be permissible? So the Ran explains that Tchina is also midrabanan, because b'darach klal, tochein and melachos like tochein are done the yamim rabim. It's done for an extent, you do once in a long while, and it lasts you for a long time. You generally don't do tochein for what you need that day. But shchikas melach and tavlin, grinding spices, grinding salt, but there are chlal people do for that day. They grind their spices right into their soup or right into their food, and they generally need it for that day. So even though it's a toldah of tochein, since it's tochein, yes, tochein is not mutter for the sake of achol nefesh, but the way the Rambam understands is that it's only nisa to rabbanon. So the rabbanon didn't aser because of didn't aser this kind of tochein because it's done in a way that's just for that day, provided that you do it with a little bit of a shinoi, that you do it in a little bit of a different way than we would normally do tochein. The problem with the Ran says is that he says kol zayin mechuvar. I don't think that's correct. He said if I could somehow prove to you that tochein on yantiv is only asur midrabanan, then this would be gevaldik. I'd be able to tell you. I'd be able to convince you that the rabbanan simply were not gozer in this kind of tochein. But in the Yerushalmi, it seems clear that tochein is asur min haTorah. That and the Yerushalmi has a drasha for it that from smichus hapsukim that only malachos harashayich b'shimura matza are subject to the heter of ochel nefesh, because the pasuk says u'shmartem es hamatzos, and then right afterwards it says ach asher ye'yosel l'chol nefesh. And that pasuk ach asher ye'yosel l'chol nefesh is the heter for ochel nefesh and yantiv. So it's that smichus that we learn that only malachos harashayich by the shimura matza, meaning from lisha and on, all those malachos from kneading the dough and on are subject to ach asher ye'yosel l'chol nefesh, are subject to the heter of ochel nefesh. So tochein is before lisha, and therefore it's not included in the heter of ochel nefesh. So that's a significant problem that the rishonim raise over here, and they come up with a number of different mahalchim. But okay, just important to point out that's quite a chiddush that our mishnah has, that tochein is going to be mutter at all on yantiv. So let's see the gemara. It says gemara, d'kuli alma mias melech bayashinui. Everyone seems to agree in our mishnah that to grind salt, to break up the salt on yantiv, you need some sort of shinui. It's machlokes beisham beisil. How much of a shinui? Beisham says you need a very big shinui. Beisil says you need a little shinui. But everyone says you need a shinui. My time, why do we need a shinui? So Rav Huna Rav Chista. It's a machlokes Rav Huna Rav Chista. One of them says chadam or kolakaderus kulon tzrichos melach. Vein kolakaderus tzrichos tavlin. One of them says, well, no matter what dish you're going to make, you always need salt. You don't always need other spices, but salt is always an absolute. You need that in whatever dish you plan on making. And therefore, a person who knew that he was going to have to cook on yantiv knew before yantiv that he was going to need salt. Because if you're going to cook, you're going to need salt. So he should have done it before yantiv. And the fact that he didn't do it before yantiv means he can't do it and cannot do it in the normal way on yantiv. But a person who knew that he's going to be cooking on yantiv would not necessarily know which spices to grind up in advance of Yom Tov. V'chadom, and the other one says, no, the explanation is kol ha'tavlin mefigin taman, u'melech ein mefigin tama, that it's a bit of a different explanation, that it's not about what you know you're going to need, it's about whether it's going to be useful or whether it's going to be just as good if you do it before Yantiv. Any other spice that you grind up before Yantiv will be very, very sharp and very strong and very tasteful right when you grind it up, but is going to lose its taste a little bit as it's exposed to the air and it's no longer in its original form. But salt, no matter how long you leave it ground up, salt is going to be fine. Nothing changes with the salt. It doesn't lose any of its taste. So the tam doesn't go away. So what the reason is. So again, the second explanation is that you should have ground up the other spices. You should have ground up salt before yantiv, because salt, there's no reason not to grind it up before Yantif. But the other spices, we don't have the expectation that a person would grind it up before Yantif, because it's going to ruin the spices. You'd rather grind it up fresh, so that that's why people have those spice things that they spice into their soups and their foods, whatever, where they grind it up right there, because that apparently is fresh for people who have a sensitive palate, who are able to taste the difference. So it does make a difference. You get the impression in Shas that they did have a very sensitive palate in those in general, that they're very sensitive to minor differences. So my benayu, so what's the nafkamina between these two opinions? So you can benayu the yada my kedera by levshule. Nafkamina would be if a person knows exactly what he plans on cooking on Yantif. So if you know exactly which spices you're going to need, so according to the first Lashon, that we said, so you should need a shinoi by Tavlin also, because you know exactly what you need, so then you should have done it before Yantif. But according to the second Lashon, you shouldn't need a shinoi by Tavlin, because there's no expectation that you would do it before Yantif, even though you know which kinds of spices you're going to need, you just don't want to ruin them. You don't want to ruin them by doing it too early. So that's one nafkamina. Inami b'marika. Another nafkamina is the type of spice that shares this quality with salt, that it's not mefig and taman, that you don't use it for every dish, but it doesn't lose its taste. So that would be enough kamina, that according to the first Lashon, that since you don't use it for every dish, there's no expectation that you should have done it before Yantif, so you could do it on Yantif without a shinoi. And according to the second Lashon, there is an expectation that you should have done it before Yantif, because it's not mefig and taman, and therefore the if it's going to be done on Yantif, it has to be done with a shinoi. Good, so that's the second nafkamina. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kol HaNidochin, Nidochin Kedarka, Nivafilu Melech. Anything that is going to be ground up, that's going to be crushed up, we do it Kederach, in the normal way, even salt. So it's what we're saying now is that Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel paskins what seems like against both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Because even Beis Hillel, who's more Mekel, said you could do Tavlin without a Shinoi. But salt, you at least need a Shinoi Ma'at, you need some sort of minor Shinoi. Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel saying, nothing needs a Shinoi. Grind up whatever you want, however you want to grind it, it's all fine. V'ha'amrit melech by a shinoi, but didn't we say that salt requires a shinoi according to the Beis Hillel? So says Gemara, yes, that is what we said in our Mishnah's version of the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, but there is a second version of the Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel that Rabbi Damar Shmuel is passing like. Hu da'amar kiay tana? Rabbi Damar Shmuel is assuming like the following tana. T'tanya amra meir lo nechleku Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel ala nidochen she nidochen kedarkan u'melech imahen, that no one disagrees, all are in agreement. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, they all agree that you can grind up spices and salt in the normal way that you would always grind it up. Well, so what are they arguing about? Lo nechleku el ledocha b'fnei atzma. She Beis Shammai rom melech b'pach u'be'etz ha'paru l'tzli avlo l'kadeira u'Beis Hillel rom b'kol davar. That Beis Shammai holds that when it comes to grinding salt alone, where that's all you're going to be grinding, so Beis Shammai holds you could for salt, you could use a pach, you have to use a significant shinoi by using a jug or etz ha'paru for tzli, but not for kadeira, meaning the amount of salt you would need for roasting, which is which is not that much salt, because you don't need any melicha when it comes to roasting, as opposed to a kedera where you would need a much more significant amount of salt. And Beis Hillel says bekal davar, with whatever you want to use, bekal davar sal kedaitach. Really, you could use whatever you want. You could use muktzah items, even you could use anything you want to grind up salt. Now ela ema likal davar, it means it doesn't make a difference whether it's letzli, lekedera, however much salt you want to grind up, it's all fine. So that's the shita of the Beis Hillel that Rav Yehuda Shmuel is paskening like. Amle Ravacha Bardel Brei ki deyachas etzli atzli evedoch atzli atzli evedoch. When you grind up the salt, what I want you to tilt it on its side as you crush it. Rav Sheshes, meaning do a little bit of a shinui. Rav Sheshes Shama Kol Buchner. Rav Sheshes heard the grinding of spices. So Amar Hai Lav Migave Debesai Hu. He says, I hear that sound. I know it cannot be coming from inside my house. So because I told them, I instructed people in my house that they're not allowed to do that. V'dumatzli atzli. But how do you know? Maybe they're tilting it on its side, so they're doing it with a little bit of a shinui. How does he know exactly how they're doing it? Well, d'shami davet salakale. It sounded like it was being done properly, that it wasn't being done with the shinoi. He heard that it had a very clear sound, a clear banging sound, so he knew that it wasn't with the shinoi. But v'dilmatavlin avu, maybe it wasn't salt, maybe it was tavlin, and therefore you don't need a shinoi. How did he know that this was something that could not have been done in his house? It makes a different sound when they grind spices than it does when they grind salt, and he was sensitive enough to the sound to realize that they were grinding salt without a shinoi. Whoever was doing this was grinding salt without any shinoi whatsoever, without even tilting it on its side a little bit. So he therefore said, I know for sure this does not come from my house. So the again, the sheet of Rabbi Dovr Shmuel is against both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in our Mishnah, but it goes like the Beis Hillel in the Brisa that that Kol Nidochin is Nidochin Kedarkan, that even salt you could do Kedarkan. So the Ran writes that Al Korchenu Dichas Tavlin of Melech is considered a Melechas Ochel Nefesh, and it's not just Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, because if that were not the case, if we're Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, then how would we allow crushing up the salt, which you could have done in Erev Yontif? So even though in the Maskana of the Gemara it sounds that we're saying salt does need a little bit of a shinoi, but we don't find that Machshirin or Mutter, when you could have done them in Erev Yontif, even with a little bit of a shinoi. So it must be that salt is considered, crushing up salt is considered Melechas Ochel Nefesh, not just Machshirei Ochel Nefesh. The Rambam, however, assumes that Shchikas Tavlin is Mutra on Yantav because it's Machshirei Ochel Nefesh, that there's a Chisaron if you do it from before Yantav, and therefore it's Mutra on Yantav. So the Chamishna wonders, then how do we allow crushing up salt, meaning the Ran's Kasha? If I understand the Tavlin, you couldn't do it equally effectively before Yantav because it's going to lose some of the taste, but what about the salt? So the Chamishna first thinks that maybe it could be mechalik between tavlin, which is only machshirei ochel nefesh, and salt itself, which is ochel nefesh. But it's difficult to assume that way. He proves from the sugya not that way. But one could have argued, what he suggests to argue, is that salt is something that's so basic to every food that salt is considered ochel nefesh itself. Other spices you could do with, you could do without. So maybe that's only considered machshirei ochel nefesh and not actual ochel nefesh. But otherwise, the Achronim work on trying to figure out how to be miyashev the shita of the Rambam. The Tosos writes over here in the name of the Ri that we had this machlokas at the beginning. What is the difference between salt and other spices? Is it that salt is not going to deteriorate over time, whereas the other spices will deteriorate over time, or is it that salt is something that you know for sure in advance you will need, whereas other spices you don't? So Tosos writes in the name of the Ri that since we don't know who to paskin like, whether to paskin like Rav Huna or Rav Chista, we're machmir like both shitos, and we're only matir grinding something that you didn't know you were going to need on Erev Yontif, and is going to be mefik tam, and it's going to be something that will lose some of its flavor if you were to grind it before Yontif. What about the fact that we're dealing with the din derabanan over here? B'shal sof from halachachar mekel, we should be mekel on the derabanan. So why don't we just assume like the more mekel opinion? He says because there is no more mekel opinion. There are nafkaminas in both directions. Meaning if you're passing like one, it's sometimes a kula, sometimes a chumra. It's we gave two nafkaminas, and the nafkaminas can work in either direction. So you can't just go basar mekel. So he says la halacha is no nafkamina anyway because Rav Huna and Rav Chista are arguing in the shita of the Tana of our Mishnah that's mechal within Shita space Hillel in our Mishnah, who's mechalik between Melech and Tavlin. But how do we paskin? We paskin like Shmuel in the Gemara. I'm Rav Yudomer Shmuel, who says against both of the Shitas in our Mishnah anyway, like the Tana of the Brisa that holds the Beis Hillel's matir with Melech, the same way with the Maduch Shalev, and the same way it'd be matir with Tavlin. So this whole machlokas Amarayim doesn't even matter. It's not, it matters to learn Torah, but it's irrelevant in the halacha, because the halacha, we're going to paskin like Rav Yudomer Shmuel anyway. So once we pass it that way, so even something that's not mefik tam, and even something that you know that you're going to need from the day before, it's all going to be mutter. So the Marsha raises the question, wait a second, even according to Shmuel, there could be enough gemina between Melech and Tavlin, because at the end of the Gemara, we say that even that Melech needs a little bit of a shinoi. Whereas Tavlin doesn't even need a little bit of a shinui. Meaning Melech, you still need to tilt the thing on its side a little bit. So it could still be a nafka mina. So you still require Rav Huna and Rav Chista and the nafka mina between them. So don't just say that it has no relevance in halacha. That's Marsha's kasha on Tosos. Why? Tosos assumes that this whole discussion and how we're going to paskin is all academic. Marsha says not necessarily. If you're going to require the tilting on the side a little bit, so that's going to be by salt. So then we're going to need to know what makes salt different than other spices and how to apply that properly. La halacha. Okay. Vaitu in the Gemara. Now, Tan Rabbanan. We're at the Bryce about 8-9 lines before the end of the page. Tan Rabbanan. Einos and Tisni vein kochin machtashas. One is not allowed to make Tisni, nor is one allowed to crush things in a mortar. So, Tarti, can both of these things be true? Meaning, it's a stiru mine ube. Rashi points out that it says Einos and Tisni sounds like Chalka Vedaisa. You're allowed to make, meaning Tisni is when you crush it up very, very finely, when you cut up each piece of grain into very, very tiny pieces, but it sounds like a dish that you can make where it doesn't have to be crushed up as finely is totally okay. And then it says in kochin, that in kochin maktash is not allowed to crush at all, you're not allowed to use mortar at all. So which is it? Can you not use it at all, or can you use it but just not so much? So hachikamer matami no sintisni lefish in kochin maktash. No, what it means to say is the reason we can't make tisni is because in kochin maktash. So vleme kochin maktash. So wait a second, then why would you dafka identify that one dish that you're going to make? Just say you're not allowed to use the mortar, and then I know you're not allowed to make that dish or any other dish that requires crushing things up. If it just would have said in kosher machteshes, I would think it's only problematic to use machteshes kedola, but machteshes ketana is fine. So kamashmalan, that's why it says that in authenticity to tell me even a machteshes ketana is not okay. But we have a brayso that says otherwise. It says beferish, you are allowed to use a machteshes ketana. So don't tell me the whole reason we identify tisni is to teach me that it's usher even to use machteshes katana. We have a brisa that says that it's mutter to use a machteshes katana. So two answers. Amar Abayi kitani nami masnisa machteshes gedola tanya. That when the brisa spoke earlier, it was talking about machteshes gedola, meaning change the answer. Don't assume that we're saying matam, that why is it that you're not allowed to be osatisni is because ein kochin machteshes, as Rashi explains. Lo tema matam kamar, el tarti katani. The Bryce is actually teaching us two things. Vachi kamar, ein osatisni klal afil b'katana. Halakha number one is you don't make this dish called tisni no matter what kind of mortar you use. Vein kochin shar katishos machteshes, kigon daisa v'stam machteshes gedola kamari. And not only that, you're not allowed to use machteshes gedola for anything. So it's two separate. This dish you're not allowed to make even in the kind of mortar that's normally mutter, machtesh ketana, which is normally mutter, but you're not allowed to make this thing called tisni. But when it comes to using machtesh gedola, no matter what you're making, it's going to be aser. That's the way Abaye understands it. Rava Amar lo kasha halan v'haluhu. Rava says, no, we go back to the way we explained it before, that it is saying matam. It's saying the reason you're not allowed to make tisni is because you're not allowed to use machtesh at all. And therefore, it's teaching me that you're not even allowed to use machtesh Machteshes katana. We have another brayso that says you are allowed to use machteshes katana. It depends who you are. It depends whether you're bnei Eretz Yisrael or bnei Bavel. As Rashi explains, Zol matam kamar ubiktana nami kai. V'kamar in kochin klal d'ramina la'avol kochin halan de'leslan avdi de'mezalzali. If we don't have avadim, we're going to be mezalzal na'alacha. So then we're allowed to use machteshes katana. But people who have avadim that are going to be mezalzal na'alacha and are going to be using machteshes gedola and say. And lie and say that they use the machteshes katana, so then for them we don't even allow using machteshes katana because we're afraid that people aren't going to be the avadim aren't going to be honest about what they in fact use. So again, that's how Rashi explains that for Bnei Eretz Yisrael they have avadim that are mezalzlim and isurim, and therefore they're not allowed to use machteshes katana so that they don't lie about what they use. The Rambam understands a little differently. The Rambam Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Gimel Halacha Yud Gimel, the Rambam writes that the reason we ask for Bnei Eretz Yisrael even in machteshes katana is because the wheat in Eretz Yisrael is a higher quality wheat. So it could have been ground up before Yom Tov without losing any of its tam. But at Bnei Bavel, where they didn't have such high quality wheat, so if they were to grind it up the previous day, it would lose some of its tam. So they allowed grinding up on Yom Tov, at least with Machteshes Ketana, at least with a smaller type of mortar. But if you live in Eretz Yisrael, there's no need for that. You could do it on Erev Yom Tov, and therefore they didn't allow with Machteshes Ketana. That's how, even with Machteshes Ketana. That's how the Rambam writes. Lacha Mishnah is bothered, then why are we not matir even for Bnei Eretz Yisrael al yidei some sort of shinui like we did for Dichas Melech? Meaning, what's the Rambam saying? That wheat in Eretz Yisrael is like salt, meaning it's the kind of thing that you can grind up the previous day and you won't lose anything. It's going to taste the same. So why don't we treat it like salt? The halacha by salt is that you can grind it up on Yantiv with a little bit of a shinui. You tilt it on its side or something like that. So that's Lacha Mishnah's kasha on the Rambam. Why don't we have that same heter for grinding up the wheat? So he says, no, maybe this was a special heter, dafka for salt, because kol hakederos tzrichos melech, and you can't cook anything without salt. But maybe by wheat, not everything needs to have wheat, so therefore, maybe we're not as makel with the wheat. The Tzlach explains, that based on the Magen Mishnah, that dafka by melech we're matir because it's machshirin, and it's not eaten on its own. The whole point is to be misakin other things, as opposed to wheat, which is the primary food. We're more machmir with the tchina of a primary food than we will be with something that's only for flavoring to spice up the food. Okay, Vaitu the Gemara, Rav Papi Ikla the Beimar Shmuel, Aisle Daisa of Loachal. Rav Papi went to the house of Mar Shmuel and they brought him some Daisa and he wouldn't eat it. The Dil Machteshes Ketana of Dua, why wouldn't he eat it? Maybe they used the Machteshes Ketana and we said the Machteshes Ketana is mutter to use. So the Chazi Davidayik Tvei, he saw it was ground up too well. There's no way they used the Machteshes Ketana. This must have been done in Machteshes Gedolda. The Dil Machteshes of Dua, but how did he know they did it today? Maybe they did it yesterday. Maybe this was prepared from before Yantif. The Chazya Davakal of Tziare, he was able to tell just by eyeballing it the color that it was freshly ground, that it wasn't done from before Yantif. V'iba yisei mershayni bei Mar Shmuel diko pitzusa davde. Rather say, no, maybe by the house of Mar Shmuel the Avadim were less honest and therefore he didn't trust these Avadim. So that would fit very nicely with what we said before, that halan v'halahu, that when in Bnei Yisrael where they have Avadim that are going to do it in Machtesh Gedol and tell you they use the Machtesh Ketana, you can't trust him, you can't eat. So that, therefore, he didn't eat because he wasn't trusting of these Avadim by Mar Shmuel. Okay, that's the discussion of Tochi. Now we move on to the discussion of Borer. So says the Mishnah, HaBorer Kitnius B'Yom Tov, if someone is Borer Kitnius on Yom Tov, B'Sham Yom Borer Ochel Va'Ochel. B'Sham says he should pull out what he wants to eat and eat what he wants to eat. Meaning that's instead of pulling out the psolas from the Ochel, he should pull out the Ochel from the psolas. Good. Beisil holds he could do borer in the normal way. He could pull out the psolas from the ochel if he wants, and he can use specialized implements for it. But the only things he can't use are things that do borer on a very large scale. But even using kalim that do borer, but they do borer on a small scale, he's allowed to use, just not the large scale borer kalim. That's what he's not allowed to do. Rav Gamliel lomer af madiach v'shola. Rav Gamliel says he could even put it into soak it in water and allow the psolas to come to the top and then skim off the top and that way do the borer in that way by using water as a way of separating the items. So Tanya, Amram Gamliel, Bemedvar, Mamuri, Miksha Ochel, Murubala Psolas. Now what are we talking about? This Dafka when there's more ochel than there is psolas. Al psolas, Murubala Ochel, Divra Kol Notalas Ochel Minechas Psolas. But if there is more psolas than there is ochel, then everyone would agree you should take out the ochel and leave the psolas. I mean, even Basil says that Bor Kedarko, that you could pull out the psolas, that's only if it's easier to pull out the psolas. But if it's easier to pull out the ochel because there's more psolas than there is ochel, so it's easier to pull out the ochel, so then of course you should pull out the ochel. So says Mar psolas meruba la ochel miyika mandashari, when there's more psolas than there is ochel, is anyone going to allow it? So it says more lotzricha de nafish b'tircha v'zater b'shura. What we're saying is that it would be there's more of a tircha to pull out the psalas, but less of a quantity of psalas. As Rashi explains, the kash was miyikaman the shari v'afilu l'taltalo. Meaning the whole thing is muktzah. You're not even, if there's more psalas, you're not allowed to be metaltal any of it. You're not allowed to touch it if there's more psalas. So the point is that no, there isn't more psalas. That's not the case. The case is nafish b'tircha. It's that pulling out the psalas would take more time because maybe the psalas is very tiny and to pull out each little piece would take much more time. Pulling out the ochel would take less time. Pulling out the ochel is maybe there are larger pieces of ochel, but clearly we have to be talking about a case where there is more ochel than psalas. Otherwise, we have a significant muktzah problem. That's what Rabbi Kivega raises the question. Even when the psalas is the miyut, shouldn't it be a muktzah problem because we're pulling out the psalas itself is muktzah. So okay, so there's a discussion in the Achronim why that's not a problem. Okay, so says the Gemara. Rambamliel says even madiach v'shola, you can soak it in water and then skim off the top of the water. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Tzadik, Kachay min hagan shal beis Rambamliel. This is how the beis Rambamliel would do it. Shayu mevin deli malei adashim. They would bring a bucket full of adashim, full of lentils, umetzifin alav mayim, and they would pour water on top of it. Vinimtsa ochal lamata psolus lamala. So the food was on the bottom and the psolus came floating to the top. Iva Tanya Ibcha, but didn't we learn the opposite that the ochel went lamala and the psolus went lamata? Apparently there was a brisa that said the other way, that the ochel floated to the top and the psolus went to the bottom. So lakasha, haba afra, haba gili. Probably depends on what kind of psolus you have. If you have dirt, so the dirt is a little heavier. If you have straw, the straw is a little lighter. So if the psolus is straw, it will float to the top. If the psolus is dirt, it will sink to the bottom. So it all depends on the type of psolus that one has. Okay, so that's in terms of borim. Now the next mishnah, b'shamay omrim, ein mishalchin b'yom tov ela manos. When a person sends something to somebody else on Yom Tov, he can only send on Yom Tov what we call manos. Now we're familiar with the term manos from Mishloach Manos Ish L'Rei Ehu, and the post can make this connection that Mishloach Manos should dafka be done in such a way that you're sending something that is prepared and ready to be eaten. So here also we're saying that you can only send something that's mucham la'achila, something that could be eaten as is and is not supposed to be put away for the next day, like cuts of meat that are ready cut and ready to be served in front of guests, fish that's already prepared, but you don't send something that still needs more processing or more waiting till you go or more doing until it gets ready, until it's ready to be eaten. Ubeisil omrim mishalchin behema chayav ha'of bein chayin bein shchutin. Ubeisil says no, you can send behema chayav ha'of whether it's alive, whether it's shechted, even though it obviously requires a great tikkun till you can eat it. You need to shecht it and salt it and cook it and do all these things. Ubeisil says that's fine. Mishalchin yeno shmanim usasos kitnios avol. You're allowed to send wine and oil and flour and kidneys and beans, right? But you're not allowed to send tavua. One is not allowed to send grain because you can't eat the way it is without grinding it up. And the grinding is a malacha that's asr on Yantif. So there's no way anyone can eat it on Yantif. Meaning essentially what Beis Hillel is saying, Beis Shammai holds, you have to send something that's ready to be eaten right now. Nothing else needs to be done. Beis Hillel is saying, no, you could send something that's not ready to be eaten right now, as long as whoever you're sending it to could make it ready on Yantif, as long as they could do something with it on Yantif. But you're going to send Tavua, they can't do anything with it. They can't grind it up because it's Yantif. Something that they couldn't even potentially use today, and they're going to have to wait till tomorrow, that you're not allowed to send. Rabbi Shimon, matir b'tavua. And Rabbi Shimon holds that it's mutter to send tavua. So you're even allowed to send grain, according to Rabbi Shimon. So Rashi explains, Shemi yivashle mekater, Rabbi yichtem machteshes katana. Because you could perhaps cook it up in a pot and then grind it with a machteshes katana, and there is a way to grind up tavua in that way on Yantif. It's not typically mutter the way we normally grind Tavua, but there is a way to do it on Yantiv in a mutter way. So how do we paskin? The Rambam paskins like the Tanakama that we don't send Tavua on Yantiv against Rabbi Shimon. The Rif quotes the Brisa that explains the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara is going to quote a Brisa that explains the sheet of Rabbi Shimon that goes into detail about what types of grains you're allowed to send, not allowed to send. So it sounds that the Rif paskins like Rabbi Shimon, because if he's quoting the Brisa that elaborates on the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, it sounds like the Rif paskins like Rabbi Shimon. So the Rush writes, yes, it's clear that the Rif is paskins like Rabbi Shimon, but the Rush says he has no idea why. He doesn't know why in the world the Rif would paskins like Rabbi Shimon against the Tanakama. So there are a couple of approaches in the Achronim. The Drisha suggests in the sheet of the Rif that Rabbi Shimon isn't even arguing on the Tanakama. He's only being mefarish Tanakama, that Tanakama only asks for tzvua that's not roy to use on Yantif, but chitim saorim adashim that you could use on Yantif in some sort of mutter way to do tochein, then you would be allowed to send. I mean, Rabbi Shimon Matir is not just Rabbi Shimon Matir; it's Rabbi Shimon Matir b'tvua with certain types of grain that you would be able to use on Yantif. So maybe it's a Rabbi Shimon is not being cholik on the Tanakama at all. That's the Drisha's approach. The Taz writes that really the Rif Paskin is like the Tanakama when he quotes the Brisa that elaborates on Shitas that sounds like it's elaborating on Shitas Rabbi Shimon. That Brisa is actually within the Shita of the Tanakama. What that Brisa is telling us is that Rabbi Shimon is matir with all tavua, but the Tanakama is matir in some types of tavua when you need it for the machal behem or something or some other yom tov need. He only argues on Rabbi Shimon when there's no need for it on Yantif. Rabbi Shimon is matir even in such a thing because as long as there could have been a need for it and there could have been a way to use it, that's enough for Rabbi Shimon. But the Tanakama says that there has to be an actual need for it. So the Taz says that the Rif never paskin like Rabbi Shimon. So basically we have a question on the Rif, why would the Rif passing like Rabbi Shimon? So one approach is to say he's not passing like Rabbi Shimon because there is no machlokas between Rabbi Shimon and Tanakama. The other approach is to say he's not passing like Rabbi Shimon, he's passing like the Tanakama, he's passing against Rabbi Shimon. We just misunderstood how the Rif expressed himself. Now the Rush asked this Kasha, why would you passing like the Rush assumes that the Rif is passing like Rabbi Shimon and raises the question, why would he passing like Rabbi Shimon? In the Tshuvas Mishkanos Yaakov, he explains that Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi Haglili have a machlokas on the pasuk Achasher Yehaseh L'chol Nefesh, so that from there we learn the heter of Malachus and Yantif for the sake of Ochel Nefesh. And Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yossi Haglili argue if Ochel Nefesh of Behema is included in Yehaseh L'chol Nefesh, are you allowed to do things that are Ochel Nefesh of Behema? So Mishlas Yaakov explains Rabbi Akiva would understand that you're allowed to cook for the sake of a Behema because that we include dogs because you are responsible to feed them. And the Mishkan Yaakov asks, wait a second, manavshach. Someone whoever says you have to feed the behema, if you're gonna say that it's logical that you have to feed the behema, why would Rabbi Yossi Haglili be cholik on the Tanakhama and hold that you're not allowed to cook for the behema? And if you don't have to feed a behema, so then why would you hold that you're allowed to cook for them at all? So he says maybe it's based on the machlokas and Maseches Bava Metzia. Rabbi Yossi Haglili, Rabbi Shimon, about the Yisr of Tzaba L'chaim, whether Tzaba L'chaim is Asur min HaTorah or only Asur min Rabbanan. Could be Rabbi Yossi Haglili holds Tzaba L'chaim is not Daraisa, and Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Shimon that Tzaba L'chaim is Daraisa. So Mele, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, there's no Chiv min HaTorah to feed a behema. According to Rabbi Akiva, since Tzaba L'chaim is Daraisa, there is a Chiv min HaTorah to feed a behema. La'alach we pask in Tzaba L'chaim is Daraisa, so it has to be that on Yantif it's going to be mutter to cook L'tzarech HaBehema. But Rabbi Yossi Haglili says that there's a special miyot, ach asher yeechal l'chol nefesh, hu levado yaseh lachem, and that's why we're mechalik between bishul and hotzah. That by hotzah we paskin, that k'shem shehutzah hotzah l'tzorech, hutzah nami shalol l'tzorech, so we're mekel nami shem tzar ba l'chaim d'oraisa. But by bishul there's a special miyot of lachem, so we're not going to be mekel b'makom tzar ba l'chaim. So that's how he explains the shitas harif, that it's only, you can only appreciate why you would want to pass like Rabbi Shimon when you connect Rabbi Shimon with all the other sugyas in Shas that Rabbi Shimon is based on, when you connect it to the whole sugya of Tzar Bale Chaim. Okay, so it says the Gemara of Vaitina, Tanir of Yechiel, Ublavad Shalei Asenu Beshura. So he said you're allowed to send things on Yantif to a friend, but you can't make a big deal. You shouldn't send a whole parade of people over to his house. Tana Ein Shur Pchus Mishlosh Minyad. The Meshura is defined as three people. Boy Ravashi, Tlasa Gavri, Betlasa Mini Mai. What if you have three people, but each of them are bringing something else. Is that considered a shura? Is that problematic that it's a avsha milsa, that it looks like you're going out to the market or whatever, if each of the three people have something else? So teku. The Gemara leaves it unresolved, it's a teku. So how do you paskin when the Gemara is a teku? The Rambam paskins over here lakula, and he allows sending three minim al yidei shlosha b'nei adam. So Magen Mishnah explains, because it's the Gemara leaves it as a safik, it's a din d'rabbanan, safik d'rabbanan lakula. That's a Rambam l'shita. So the Rambam throughout always assumes that a teku has the same din as a regular safik. So by a teku, we could say safik d'rabbanan lakula. Not all the Rishonim agree with that. The Bahag over here paskins l'chumra, and the Ran writes that it's mashma that way from the Rif also, that we should go l'chumra. And the way this group of Rishonim seems to assume is that the word teku doesn't just mean stam, it's a suffix. The word teku means the question has to remain standing. We cannot resolve this question. It needs to remain unresolved. And the only way to leave it unresolved is by being machmir. Because once we are being makel, that is our way of saying that we have resolved the issue. But we haven't, in fact, resolved the issue. The Amshul Shlomo writes that even though the kol suffix rabbanon, we are always assume l'kula, when Rav Ashi and B'nai Doro, who were chosim the Talmud, left something with the teku, it means that they wanted it to be a teku at Sheyavo Eliyahu, and therefore we need to be machmir. So again, the Amshul Shlomo says, like this idea, I think it's in the Klalei Pesach of the Rush at the end of Masechet Shabbos, there appears a page before the Rush that has all the Klalim. So I think that this appears over there as well. I think the Kabbalah Sanal wrote it. The Klalei Pesach of the Rush, the Rif, and the Rambam. So I think he points out this Klal, that the Rambam always goes Lekula on a teku, goes always like a suffix, Safik Rabbanan Lekula, Safik Dorais Lechumra on a teku, and a group of other Rishonim, I think the Rush included, does not always go, always assumes Lechumra on a teku, because a teku means it should stand. So Asema has trouble with this, though. He says, what do you mean? Maybe when they wrote teku, they meant, you can't be poshet the Shaila, so you should treat it like a suffix. Meaning, who says that means you can't be Mekel? Mekel isn't being poshet the Shaila. It means, Safik Rabbanan Lekula, I'm a suffix, so I don't know what to do, so I go Lekula. So he says, the way to be Miyashiv, the Shita of the Rif and the Bahag, is that even though Safik Rabbanan Lekula, a person shouldn't put himself into a situation of suffix. So since you could send something to your friend, Beheter, by sending it with one person, or with two people, and not by sending it with three people, so why would you send three people to bring three on him? So it can't be that your one is allowed to be machnis himself into the suffix. And that's what there is, that's why the Rif is machmir over here. Because it's not that he would be machmir on the teku, he's mekel on the teku. It's a safik d'rabbanan, just like the Rambam would be. But he doesn't think that there's any reason for a person to get involved by putting himself in a situation of safik. Good. Rabbi Shimon matir b'tvua. Then we said Rabbi Shimon allows using tvua. So Tanya, Rabbi Shimon matir b'tvua. Kigon, here's that brisa we were referring to before that elaborates on the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Kigon chitin lasus mein ludios, like chitin to make a special dish that they made with chitin. Sorin litin lefnei behemto, barley to feed the animals. Adashim, right? Barley is always assumed to be animal food. That's why most karbanos mincha are made with chitim and not with saorim. When the Mishnah Menachos says, a person says he's going to bring a mincha of saorim, smachlokas tanaim, whether he's chayiv to bring anything, because he was not misnadiv kederach misnadiv. He didn't say something that's a normal thing to say. Machlokas whether he has to bring a mincha of chitim or he just brings nothing because he just said something ridiculous. Saorim is always assumed to be animal food. Adashim lasos men resisin, lentils to make resisin. Some type of food that they would make with adashim. Good. So says the Mishnah now. Mishalchin kelim bein tefurin bein shein tefurin. When it comes to sending kelim meaning clothing, you could send clothing whether it's all sewn up already or whether it's not sewn up. Because even if it's not sewed, there's still some use for it on yontif. Namely, a person could use it as a cover, a blanket, something like that. Even if there's shotness in it, you can send clothing to somebody else in yontif, provided that it's l'tzorach hamoed. So the Gemara is going to get to that. What do you mean? It's shotness. Avalos sandal amasumar v'lo minel sheno tafri. You're not supposed to send a sandal amasumar, the what do they call it, cleats, and you're not supposed to send a minel sheno tafur, a shoe that's not sewn up. Rabbi Yehuda amar af lo minel lavan mnei shetzarech uman. Also not a white shoe, because no one would actually wear a white shoe. They would wait till it gets blackened. So you need an uman to actually blacken it, so it's not ready for use on yantiv. Zaklal. Klal, the rule is fairly simple. Kol shenelsim bov yamtiv v'shalchan also. If someone could have some use for an yamtiv, you're allowed to send it as a gift on yamtiv. If someone has no use for an yamtiv, then you're not allowed to send it on yamtiv. So says Mar Bishlam, it's furin chazal malbush. I understand why you're allowed to send sewn up clothing, because a person could wear it. Shein furin nami chazal luchsuya. I also understand why you're allowed to send clothing that's not sewn up, because a person could use it as a blanket, a person can cover himself with it. El klayim l'may chazu. But why are you sending shatness? What's the person going to be able to do with shatness? You're not allowed to wear shatness. V'chitema chazal l'meimach to say. And if you'll say, no, you could use shatness, because you could have it under you, you could sit on shatness. V'atanya, but we have a b'raisa, lo yala alecha, avalata yachal atziyo tachtecha, on a daraisa level, you're not allowed to put shatness on you, but you're allowed to sit on top of shatness. Avalamur chacham, masalasas kein shamatich chachal nima al basaro. But the chacham said that you're not allowed to do this, because we are concerned that tichrach lo nima al basaro, that that is a strand of shatness is going to go over your skin, and you're going to benefit from the shatness. So, and v'chi tema, the mafsik midi beini beini, and you can say, no, maybe you're not sitting directly on the shatness, there's something being mafsik, so you don't have to worry that a strand is going to go over your skin. That even if there are 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, and there's shatness on the bottom one, you're not allowed to sit on it, you're not allowed to sleep on it. So don't tell me that there's something in between. You're not allowed to sit on shatness either. What's the person going to do with shatness? So says Mara Ella Bevilon. Now you could use it as a curtain. So since so that's the use of sending shatness, that the person is able to use it as a curtain. And I was going to question this in a moment also, but first a couple of points over here. The Ran raises the question why we need the let's look at the Ran for a second. Rashi says the concern of Shema Tichrach Lo Nima is that it's going to be Mischamim his guf, he's going to benefit from the shatness being on his body. So the Ravid of Mesechus Tamid says, so what? It's Davar Sheino Miskavin. He's having no kavana for Hana'a from the shatness. And we pass like Rabbi Shimon that a Davar Sheino Miskavin is mutter. So what's the problem? And don't tell me, no, we're afraid that he's going to have kavana. We're afraid that he's going to be miskavin to get Hana'a from it. Because the halacha is that Mocher Ksus is Mochum Klaim. There are a lot of sell shatness. So apparently we trust a person to have in mind that he's not going to get any Hana'a from it. So it says the Ravid, like the second Pshat in Rashi, that the Isser of is not because of the Hana'a of that Chut, it's that when you have Shatness on you, and you are benefiting from the rest of that beged, even if you're benefiting from the part of the beged that doesn't have shatness, memela it's an issur of shatness. That's Shema Tichrach Lo Nima. That if there's some shatness on you, and you're benefiting overall from the beged, that itself is considered a violation of shatness. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, Elisha will pick up from here tomorrow morning.